I Am the One Entrepreneur Edition is brought to you by Try Business School. Get your four-part video series on how to think like an elite entrepreneur. Visit iamtheone.fm and get signed up for immediate access to your free e-course today.
I'm Aaron Anastasi, and I am the one.
One Entrepreneur Edition, a show that explores the journeys of business owners who decided to be the one to make life better for the people they serve. I'm your host, Sonia Thompson, and today's guest is Aaron Anastasi. Aaron is a serial entrepreneur and founder of Superior Singing Method, an online training program where he teaches students how to improve their singing in 8 weeks or less. He's also the author of the new book, The Voice of Your Dreams. We can learn a lot from Aaron's journey, in particular how he's learned to silence the voices in his head that prevented him from doing the big things he was capable of. But before we dive into the interview, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Try Business School, which is all about teaching you how to combine the right strategy with the right mindset to grow your business. Have you ever tried to drive a car with a busted engine? If you have, then you know that you probably didn't get very far. When the engine of your car isn't running like the well-oiled machine that it is, it's difficult for the car to take you from where you are to where you want to go. Your mind is the engine of your business. The way you think is the difference between a thriving business and struggling to reach your goals. That's why mindset is so important. To help you get the mindset you need to build the business of your dreams, head on over to iamtheone.fm and get signed up to the email list. Then you'll get the free four-part e-course on how to think like an elite entrepreneur, as well as other good stuff to help you build your business along the way. All right, let's get to it. Here's Aaron. Hello, Aaron. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm great, Sonia. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm honored to be here.
It's my pleasure. All right, well, let's go ahead and dive right in. Tell me about your business, Superior Singing Method. I don't think I've had anybody related to singing on the show yet. You can do some singing. That's okay.
Yeah, I'll just sing for everything I do. I'll just sing today. I'll answer questions with song.
Okay.
So Superior Singing Method. And just to let you know, I've got Superior Singing Method. I've got Signing Success. I've got Superior Songwriting Method. And, you know, so I've actually got a bunch of online businesses, but Superior Singing Method is kind of the flagship one and the one we really started with. Okay. And that it's an online singing lesson program that the whole idea is superior singing in 8 weeks or less. And so it's a systematic way to build your voice. My whole thing with this is you don't have to be born with talent or with a great voice. Nobody is. It's something that you develop. And so I give you the steps to build the right thing at the right time so where you build the voice that you want.
That's super cool. All right. So I guess the question I have is when you have something like singing, a lot of people might think that working with somebody live and in person is the best way to work through that. How have you been able to improve people's voices online? Because that just seems like it might be a difficult thing to do, but it might not be at all based on your experience.
Yeah. That was actually one of my chief concerns when I first started doing this. I was like, well, you got to be there and you got to see what they're doing. And there is some truth to that. That is helpful if you can do that. But what I found is there were certain principles and certain pitfalls and certain exercises that if anybody implemented these things, that it would get over a lot of the really common pitfalls that they have. And a lot of people just skyrocket just from that alone.
Got it. No, that's good to know. And I think sometimes when we're thinking about businesses, we put barriers and hurdles in the way because we think they're going to be an issue for other people, but actually they're not.
Right.
Not until
right.
You actually test it. So it's super cool that you did that and you found success with it. All right. So what is the problem that you solve with your business? What's the specific problem that you say?
Yeah, for that for that business was that people all over the world couldn't afford private lessons, and I was passionate about helping them reach their dreams, and I thought I can make something that could really help them. I mean, it was really that simple for me.
No, it doesn't have to be complicated, and generally simple is better. And what made you decide that you were going to be the one to solve that problem?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm honest, I didn't know I was the one until I was the one.
Okay.
No, I chose myself. I love Seth Godin says that choose yourself, you know, mm-hmm. stop waiting for somebody to choose. I love that idea. So I did choose myself in spite of all the reservations that I had about my ability and what I was capable of. And am I a fraud? And am I going to be exposed for not being amazing or mm-hmm. all those thoughts? But I just decided, you know what, to me, when I shifted the focus off of myself and onto the end user, meaning like onto who I was going to serve, mm-hmm. it became a lot easier. When I'm wrapped up in my own mind, how am I going to look? And what if they dis? And what if this? And people are going to realize I'm not the greatest in the world. I just shifted away and said, no, who can I help? Who can I serve? How could I help people reach their dreams? And that's what constantly gave me the courage to just move forward and say, this is going to help some people and it's not going to be for others. And if I get a lot of bad feedback, I'll deal with that when it comes.
Right. Well, it's amazing how, and I've heard several people say this, about how once you sort of take the focus off of yourself and put it onto serving the people that you're trying to help, that things make you get those imposter feelings kind of just sort of subside a little bit, because it's not about you. It's about the people that you're able to make life better for. So super cool.
Yeah. And I found that it's not something that just like, oh, I just shift the focus today. And then for the rest of my life, it's gone.
Right.
It's
right.
Something that for me needs to be reviewed often, if not daily.
Got it. All right. So you've got this business, Superior Singing Method, but we were chatting beforehand and you've got quite a few other things that you do. And you also mentioned that Superior Singing Method is the flagship, but you've branched out. So how did you know it was time to do something different or to, you know, branch out into related businesses?
It was really once this business got buzzing, and we can talk more about this later. There are tons and tons of failures and pitfalls along the way. But once Right. we did get it spinning and buzzing into where I was spending maybe an hour a week maintaining it, then it was like, okay, that was a fun challenge. That's making, you know, passive income. Great. What else can we do? It was more of just like the challenge of fun of like, okay, what's up next? It wasn't just like a one and done. Like, I enjoy this whole process. So it was, let's get back to work and do something fun. And so we did several other businesses over the years. And then, most recently it's been about coaching and writing this book and speaking and that kind of stuff.
Well, I really like what you're saying here, in that, like, sometimes when we think about businesses and as we're building them, we build this one thing that takes up a lot of our time and we devote all our focus and effort to it. But there are multiple ways to build a business that gives you the life that you want. And if you're able to build one that only requires, you know, up front, of course, there's some heavy lifting, but once you get it going, like you said, if it only requires an hour or a couple of hours a week, you can sort of move into doing other things that interest you. So that's cool that you were able to set it out that way. Was that your intention to have it be set up that way?
It absolutely was. From the get-go, there were two primary reasons why I created this thing. The first one I mentioned, I genuinely am passionate about helping people live fuller, freer lives and helping them reach their dreams. Mm-hmm. It's just a core passion of mine. And the second one was this idea of passive income, and not necessarily to get rich, but to have something buzzing so I could do the things that I want to do. And that mm-hmm. was, and it came to pass, and life is better as a result.
Super cool. All right. So tell me a little bit about what your circumstances were, your life circumstances were before you started your business full time.
Yeah, I remember sitting with my coach. I had a life coach. I still do have a coach. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting with him. This was years ago. And we were sitting in a coffee shop in Hollywood. I live in Los Angeles. And I remember I was at a point in my life where I was just stuck. I was feeling depressed. I was feeling, you know, just had those kind of soggy feelings of self-doubt and feeling like a failure, and was frustrated because I kept getting the same types of results over and over and over again in my life. And I was angry because of that, if I'm honest. And mm-hmm. My coach asked me, he said, who would you have to be in order to get the results that you want in your life? And to me, I thought he misspoke because I've always been like a really hard worker and a hustler and I can do this and do this. You mean, what would I have to do? He said, no, who would you have to be? And it was that, at that point, that kind of started a journey and a search for me to answer the question, like, how do I get the results in my life? How do I shift my way of being in such a way that I get different results in my life? So that was the frame of mind. That was the mindset and the way of being that started these businesses and what I think is the primary factor that helped them be successful. Not that I did all the right things of doing, but my way of being as I came into it.
Got it. And I like that because I think a lot of people don't realize just how important having the right frame of mind is whenever it's time to be an entrepreneur, just because, you know, there's so many different elements. You have to deal with yourself and your own. It brings up all your insecurities. So having the right mindset and making sure that you consistently work on that is essential to being able to be successful.
Yeah, that's certainly what I've found.
All right. So what you mentioned failure before. Now, can you share one of the failures that you experienced and what you learned from it?
Yeah. A couple of major ones. So one was the first business I actually created wasn't Superior Singing Method. It was actually The Singing Guide. And so I spent 2 years developing The Singing Guide. 2 years. I was working two other jobs and I was working still like 20, 30 hours a week just developing this thing and really excited about doing this thing. And so after 2 years, me and my business partners, we launched the Singing Guide, and it was a disaster. I mean, it was an utter disaster. Literally, we didn't get one client. We didn't. It was a total fail. And so what I learned at that point was, after about 2 or 3 weeks of wound licking, I realized that. I just started asking myself, why am I doing this? What's the point of me doing this? I wanted to get really clear on my why. And that's where I got it based on my values of, do I really care about helping people reach their dreams all over the world? Do I really care about letting this be the entryway into serving the world powerfully? And since the answer was yes, and this is the way that I wanted to do it, I spent another year rethinking the branding and rethinking the refilming all of the videos that were, you know, higher quality and really getting down to this idea of like Superior Singing 8 weeks or less, this step-by-step guide. I realized that you can find anything on YouTube that you want, but what I'm doing is giving you my method, and here's my method that is a step-by-step. Every day you know exactly what to do. You've got your encapsulated little thing for the day. So as I developed all that for another year, then Superior Singing Method was more of a success, but it was a pretty major failure.
Got it. So you needed that failure actually to kind of be that stepping stone for your success, sounds like, huh?
Yeah, and it helped me just for years, the next several years to come, because I got really clear about what I was about and what this was about. Is this just about it being successful and me making money? Because that is some motivation for me, but it's not ultimate motivation as much as like serving the world and helping people all over the world reach their dreams when they couldn't otherwise afford to. It's just more motivating to me.
Right. So one of the things that you mentioned, like it failed and you had to go back and sort of regroup and figure out, you know, what your next steps were, and you thought more about what you wanted to do. Did you have to go through an active post-mortem exercise, so to speak, to say, all right, this is what wasn't working, and so that you can use those lessons to make a difference with your next business?
Yeah. I mean, the main conclusions that we had were our marketing strategy was terrible, first of all. Okay. The videos were really low quality, and so it wasn't very enticing to begin with. And we hadn't created a systematic way, you know, this idea of a step-by-step. And so those were the three primary things that we did. So once we figured out how to do all that better, then it was more successful.
Super cool. All right. So what has been your proudest moment throughout all your journey thus far as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. I think it goes back to those two things again. So first one was the money thing. So I remember waking up the first day and I made $300 while I was sleeping. Uh-huh. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this is actually working.
Yes. And I know that feeling.
Yeah. And then the other thing was just getting emails from people literally all over the world in the same day. It would be from Iraq, Nepal, California, Brooklyn, you know, all in the same day, people saying, hey, thank you so much, and sharing their stories of them reaching their dreams. So it was seeing both of the things come into fruition, I think.
Oh, that's super cool. Super cool. All right. So you identified, you know, what you needed to change to be successful in your specific businesses, to make, you know, what went wrong with the first business, and then you applied those lessons in the next one. But what would you say overall are your three keys to success in all the things that you do? Because you've got quite a few things in your toolkit right now.
Yeah. The first one is this idea of being that I mentioned before, this idea of being versus doing. And when I say being, I know that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but to me it has to do with realizing the limiting voices that we have in our head, our negative self-talk, and getting really clear about what they are and redesigning them. So that mindset is a huge one. In fact, my second point is this idea of having a morning routine. And part of my morning routine is to address that. I've got, actually in my book, there's a chapter called The Truth About You. And mm-hmm. It's a practice that I've started that's helped me, is I've got a list on my phone in the notes section of my phone. And it's just called The Truth About You. And I review this list every single morning when I wake up as a way to shift my mindset, because the limiting voices that we have in our mind are really just, when it comes down to it, they're just lies we believe. And if, you know, the truth will set us free, that mm-hmm. idea. So if I can rewrite that with truth every morning, subconsciously over time, my brain begins to function as if that's true. So let me, for example, I listen to what people say about me, people I respect. And so mm-hmm. one guy who's a great leader who I respect, he said, you systematically create success around you and you inspire the same in others. I mean, that's a radical thing to say to somebody. And I could have been really encouraged in the moment, which I was, but I didn't want to just be encouraged. So I grabbed that statement and I put it in my phone with his name on it. And so I've got like 25 of those people that I really respect in industries that maybe I feel a little insecure about. And so this is at least as true or more true than my thoughts of you're stupid, you're not going to make it, you don't have what it takes, you're too far behind, you're too old. Like all those thoughts that want to take center stage. So I rehearse these other thoughts, and that shifts me into a way of being that's more resourceful to getting the things that I want.
Got it. So just a quick question.
And the third
here.
One. Oh, go ahead.
Sure. You mentioned that this is your morning routine, and is it the importance of it being done in the morning is to sort of reset your thinking before you get started doing all, you know, getting started with your day?
It absolutely does. And I know a lot of people aren't morning people, and there's a lot of pushback with my clients with that sometimes. And I think it's fine if you do it whenever, but for me, I just find that when I do it in the morning and I reset this mindset and I do my meditation prayer, I do my reading, I do all that kind of stuff in the morning, it sets my way of being forward to where that day I'm happier, I'm more excited, I'm coming with a way of being, I feel more powerful in every situation I go into. My way of being shows up differently and I get radically different results than if I walk into a situation and I'm feeling depressed or down or lack of energy. So morning is what works for me. I wasn't a morning person for a very long time, but once I started this, I was like, I can't not do this because there's just too much power in it.
Got it. Now, do you have to get up earlier to do that, or can you just do it whenever you wake up?
Yeah, I don't get up too early, but I am an entrepreneur and I've got all my own businesses. So I've got my set schedule, and it's not a schedule that has me waking up early, which actually is my third point. My third key to success thing is this idea of planning your days. So many entrepreneurs that I know and that I work with, they're like, oh, they start experiencing some of this freedom, but they don't have the discipline to throughout the day. And they're constantly giving away their time to people that are clamoring for their attention. So it's a lot of my clients are, and I found myself doing this too, they're wanting to please people that are clamoring for their attention rather than genuinely serve people. And the best way we can serve people is to carve out the time to do the greatest things that we know. It's the Derek Sivers thing. It's like, do, you know, the good versus the great, the whole idea of it's either a hell yeah or a no. So
saying
all that is, if I plan my week before the week and then certainly plan even more specifically my day the night before, that has made a radical difference in my productivity and doing the right things and not just getting caught up doing all the, you know, other stuff and procrastinating the one main thing.
I can co-sign that 100%. It was a lesson I had to learn whenever I first started. I was like, oh yeah, I've got all this flexibility. Let me go to the gym in the middle of the day. But yeah. And then you quickly realize that no, that doesn't work. You need some structure. You need structure. You have the flexibility, but you need it within a structured format. So all right. So just going back, if you could give advice to yourself when you first began your entrepreneurial journey, what would that be? Knowing everything that you know now, with all the businesses that you started, all the people that you've worked with and observed.
Yeah, I think it would just be, it would be believe in your bigness. There's so much more in you than you realize. Because when I function as if there's so much more in me than I realize, I just get a radically different result. And I struggled so much for so long with my limiting voices, my negative self-talk, and it held me back so much for so long that I would have told myself that earlier.
Right. So a question around that, believing your bigness, and I totally agree. Is there a balance that you have to strike with believing that you have the ability to do these great things, but at the same time, keeping yourself humble?
Yeah, it's funny. I've been thinking about that a lot recently. Yeah, I think to me, humility is really important and really key. But humility to me is understanding your place in the world. That's ultimate humility. So understanding that you have this unlimited power inside of you, but the reason you have this unlimited power inside of you is to serve humanity powerful. To me, that's where the humility comes in of like, it's not me about me building my kingdom and me being great. It's about, I have the greatness inside of me to go and powerfully serve the world and help other people be great.
So cool. All right. So what can we expect to see from you in the future? You've got some cool projects going on right now.
Yeah, I'm most excited right now about this book. I wrote this book. It's called The Voice of Your Dreams. And actually, the subtitle is a lot of what I'm talking about here because I'm really passionate about it. The subtitle is Turn Down the Voices of Limitation and Turn Up the Volume of Success. So that actually released April 12th. So it just came out.
Wow.
And I'm really excited about that. So you can expect more podcast interviews, more speaking engagements, and the book.
Sweet. Congratulations. I know writing a book is a big undertaking. I did it once and I'm doing it in the process of getting started on another one to release this year. So I totally get it. So congratulations, Bravo.
That's great. And congratulations to you because I know what an undertaking it is.
It's like I got to get myself mentally prepared to begin the process. All right. And so where can people find you?
Yeah, the best place is to go to thevoiceofyourdreams.com. I mean, you can contact me there, but also if you did want to pick up the book, it's on Amazon, but if you go to my site first and I just put your email in there, I'll send you a 30% off coupon code for Amazon. So it's 30% off whatever the regular Amazon price is. And you can, there's a contact section as well.
Sweet, sweet. All right. Well, before I let you go, I do have one other question for you. And I think that always just gives like a good primer into a good view into the person, not necessarily just the entrepreneur, because, you know, we're all people, of course. But, you know, I think sometimes whenever as we're building our businesses, we kind of take on a different role. So this is what I like to ask to help us get to know you, Aaron, better. And that's to deliver a line from a movie that speaks to you and explain why you chose that one.
Yeah, let's see. My favorite movie, probably one of my favorite movies of all time, is Finding Neverland with Johnny Depp. It combines two of my favorite things, Peter Pan and Johnny Depp. And it was just a really great movie. And I remember this one scene, and it kind of actually has to do with what we've been talking about here is J.M. Barrie, you know, who wrote Peter Pan. He's talking to the kid, Peter Davies or whatever. And he's saying, what should I write about? Because this kid wanted to be a writer. And he says, write about your family. Write about the talking whale. And the kid's like, what talking whale? And he said, the one that's trapped in your imagination, desperate to get out.
Aww.
And I love that because that, you know, with my book, the whole idea of why I wrote the book, it's called The Voice of Your Dreams because we have this voice of our dreams that is calling to us. This is that talking whale inside of us that's trapped and is trying to get out. So we have this voice of our dreams that's calling to us, but it can be hard to hear and hard to follow when the voices of limitation are shouting so much louder. So that's why I wanted to write this book of helping people, particularly entrepreneurs and artists, turn down those voices of limitation, get a bunch of strategies, what I call new dream or strategies in order to be more successful in their endeavors.
It's a very important message. I'm super glad that you are sharing it. Aaron, this has been great. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your story and experiences and all the cool stuff that you're working on. It's been fun.
Thank you, Sonia. It's been really fun for me too. Thank you.
Aaron had so many cool things to share, but there was one thing that stood out to me in particular. And that brings us to today's I Am the One challenge. What are the lies you hold as truth in your mind about yourself? Write down three true things about you to help you get started reprogramming your mind to focus on the truth about yourself rather than the lies. All right, so if you've been enjoying the show, I'd love it if you'd leave a rating and review for it in iTunes. It helps the show gain exposure, which will make it easier for other entrepreneurs to find it. It's so appreciated. Until next time, keep working on building your dream business so you can make life better. Somebody's waiting on you. Thanks for listening.